Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Julie had been working as a hospice nurse long enough to recognize the feeling in a house where someone was nearing the end. Every home carried it a little differently, but there was always a moment when the rhythm of the place changed. Conversations became quieter. The lights stayed on later than usual, and people moved through the rooms with a kind of careful awareness. By the time Julia turned into the driveway that evening, she had been visiting the house for nearly 3 weeks. The patient's illness had progressed slowly at first, and during the early visits, the woman had still been able to talk while Julia checked medications and adjusted pillows. They had spent time chatting about ordinary things during those appointments. The woman liked to talk about the garden she used to keep in the backyard and the maple tree outside the bedroom window. Those conversations had gradually faded. During the last few visits, the woman had grown too weak to speak, and most of Julia's work had focused on keeping her comfortable. The family understood what stage things had reached, but that knowledge didn't make the waiting any easier. When Julia stepped inside the house, the daughter met her in the hallway with the tired smile Julia had come to expect during long vigils. It was the same expression she had seen on many faces over the years. The look of someone who had been awake too long but still felt responsible for staying close. They spoke quietly for a moment before Julia walked toward the bedroom. The hospital bed had been set up beside the window several weeks earlier when hospice equipment was first delivered. A small table beside it held medications and the notebook where Julia recorded changes in breathing and comfort. The woman lay still beneath the blankets. Julia greeted her the same way she always did when entering the room, speaking gently even though the patient had not been able to respond for days. Experience had taught her that hearing often lingered longer than families expected. She set her bag on the chair and began the familiar routine. The woman's breathing had changed noticeably since Julia's previous visit earlier that day. The pattern was slower now, with uneven pauses between breaths that suggested the body was beginning to let go. Julia had seen that rhythm many times. She adjusted the pillows slightly and administered medication that would ease the tension in the woman's chest. Within several minutes, the lines in the patient's face softened and her breathing became less strained. The daughter watched quietly from the bedside while Julia worked. After several weeks of visits, the family had grown comfortable with Julia in the room. They asked questions openly now, and Julia answered them as honestly as she could. The daughter eventually leaned forward and spoke softly to her mother. Julia had learned over time that these moments were deeply personal, so she stepped slightly back toward the doorway while the daughter spoke. The words were familiar. She told her mother that the family loved her. She told her they would be all right. And finally, she told her that she didn't have to keep fighting anymore. Julia had heard those conversations many times before. Patients often seemed to wait for those words. Not long after the daughter spoke them, the woman's breathing changed again. The pauses between breaths stretched longer, and Julia knew the body had entered the final stage. It didn't always happen immediately, but it meant the end could come at any time during the coming hours. Julia spoke quietly with the family, explaining what they might see overnight. Some families chose to remain beside the bed until the end, while others took turns resting in nearby rooms. That decision was never easy. Julia reminded them gently that it was all right to sleep if they needed to. Exhaustion could make the moment even harder when it finally came. Eventually, the daughter stepped into the living room where several other relatives had gathered. Julia remained in the bedroom for a while longer. The house had grown very still by then. A small lamp beside the bed cast soft light across the room, and the quiet ticking of a clock somewhere down the hallway marked the passing minutes. Julia sat in a chair near the bed, watching the woman's breathing and occasionally checking her pulse. At one point, she reached out and gently took the patient's hand. It was something she often did when someone seemed restless. Even when patients could no longer respond, the simple contact sometimes seemed to calm the body. For several minutes, Julia sat quietly beside the bed. Eventually, she stood and checked the woman's breathing again. The pattern had slowed even further. Julia stepped into the hallway and spoke with the family once more. She explained that the end might come during the night and reassured them that everything looked peaceful. After another half hour, she gathered her things. The family walked her to the front door. Julia reminded them that they could call the hospice line at any time during the night if they needed guidance or if the woman passed. The daughter nodded. By the time Julia stepped outside, the night air had cooled and the street was completely quiet. Driving home, Julia felt the familiar mixture of exhaustion and calm that often followed long hospice visits. Nights like that carried a quiet emotional weight, but there was also comfort in knowing someone was being cared for gently during the final stage of life. When she reached home, the house was dark. Julia changed clothes, slipped into bed beside her husband, and closed her eyes. The long day caught up with her quickly, and within minutes, she drifted into sleep. Sometime later, she began to dream. At first, it felt as though she had simply returned to the house she had just left. The bedroom looked exactly the same lamp glowing softly beside the bed, and the same quiet stillness filling the room. Julia stepped closer to the bed, but something was different. The woman was sitting upright. The illness that had drained her strength only hours earlier seemed gone. Her face looked peaceful and alert in a way Julia had not seen in weeks. For a moment, they simply looked at one another. Then the woman smiled. For a moment, Julia simply stood there beside the bed. The room looked exactly as she remembered it from only a few hours earlier. The same lamp glowed on the table beside the bed, casting a soft circle of light across the blankets. The same curtains hung loosely over the window. Even the chair where Julia had been sitting earlier in the evening remained in the same place. But the woman herself was different. When Julia had last seen her, the illness had taken nearly everything. Her breathing had been shallow and uneven, her body too weak to move on its own. The woman had not spoken for days. Now she sat upright against the pillows. Her shoulders were relaxed and her breathing looked effortless. The strain that had marked her face during those final visits was gone. She looked almost like the person Julia remembered from the early days of hospice care when they had still been able to talk together. The woman looked directly at her. There was recognition in her expression. Julia felt a strange sense of awareness settle over the moment, the quiet realization that this dream felt unusually steady. In most dreams, the details shifted constantly, as though the mind could not hold the scene in place for long. This moment did not feel like that. Everything around her remained calm and unchanged. The woman studied Julia for a few seconds, and then she spoke. Her voice sounded clear and natural the way it had during those earlier visits before the illness had taken her strength. The sound of it caught Julia slightly off guard. For a moment, she simply listened. The woman said Julia's name. The sound of it was gentle, spoken with a calm familiarity that suggested the weeks they had spent together had meant something more than routine care. Julia felt a strange mixture of comfort and uncertainty as she stood beside the bed. She knew she was dreaming. At the same time, the moment felt too clear, too steady, to dismiss completely. The room held a quiet stillness that seemed different from the shifting, unfocused quality most dreams carried. The woman continued looking at her. Then she smiled again. It was not a dramatic moment, and she didn't say very much. The conversation that followed was simple, almost ordinary in its tone. The woman spoke the way patients sometimes had during the earlier stages of hospice care, when they were still able to share small thoughts about the day or ask quiet questions. She told Julia that the room had felt peaceful earlier that night. She said she remembered Julia sitting beside the bed. And then, after a brief pause, she thanked her. The words were spoken calmly without any sense of urgency. But the meaning behind them carried a quiet weight that Julia felt immediately. During the weeks Julia had been visiting the house, she had done what hospice nurses always tried to do. She kept the woman comfortable, adjusted medication when the breathing became difficult, and help the family understand what was happening during those final stages. But hearing the woman say thank you in that quiet room made Julia suddenly aware that those small moments had mattered more than she had realized. The woman seemed to sense that thought. Her expression remained calm as she watched Julia for another moment. Then her gaze shifted slightly toward the doorway. Julia turned instinctively, expecting to see someone standing there. But the hallway beyond the door remained empty and dim. When Julia looked back at the bed, the woman had settled against the pillows again. For a few seconds, neither of them spoke. Julia had the strange impression that the moment was coming to an end. Not abruptly, the way dreams sometimes faded without warning, but slowly, almost deliberately. The woman looked at her one last time. The calm expression on her face remained. There was no fear there now, none of the tension Julia had seen earlier that evening, as the illness tightened its grip. Only quiet acceptance. Then the room began to fade. The light from the lamp softened, and the edges of the room seemed to dissolve in a way Julia couldn't quite describe. The details that had seemed so solid only moments earlier gradually slipped away. Julia woke slowly. For a moment, she lay still in the darkness of her bedroom, trying to understand why the dream had felt so vivid. The house around her was quiet, the soft rhythm of her husband's breathing beside her the only sound in the room. She turned slightly and glanced at the clock on the nightstand. The red numbers read 2:14 a.m. Julia blinked and looked away again. Dreams after long hospice shifts weren't unusual. She had experienced them before, especially after nights when the emotional weight of the work followed her home. Most of the time, those dreams faded quickly when she was fully awake. This one lingered. Even after she closed her eyes again, the image of the bedroom remained clear in her mind. The lamp beside the bed, the woman sitting upright, the calm expression that had replaced the strain of illness, and the quiet way she had said thank you. Julia eventually drifted back to sleep. When she woke later that morning, the dream still hovered somewhere in the back of her thoughts. It had felt more detailed than most, but she assumed it was simply her mind processing the events of the night before. That happened sometimes in hospice work. You spent weeks caring for someone, watching the slow progression of illness, and when the end finally came, your mind tried to sort through everything that had happened. Julia moved through the morning slowly, catching up on rest after the overnight call. The house was quiet, the kind of calm that often followed long shifts. She had just finished pouring a cup of coffee when her phone rang. The number on the screen belonged to the hospice office, Julia answered. The voice on the other end spoke gently, the way hospice staff always did when delivering news like this. The patient's daughter had called earlier that morning. Her mother had passed during the night. For a moment, Julia didn't say anything. The words themselves were not unexpected. When she had left the house the night before, she already knew the end was very close. The breathing had slowed into the pattern hospice nurses recognized as the body's final stage. It was common for patients to pass within hours once that rhythm began. Still, hearing the confirmation carried a quiet finality. Julia leaned lightly against the kitchen counter while the nurse on the other end of the call continued speaking. The family had called the hospice line shortly after discovering that the woman had passed. Everything had been peaceful. The daughter had said her mother's breathing had gradually slowed until it simply stopped. There had been no distress. Julia felt a small sense of relief hearing that. Comfort was always the goal during those final hours. The nurse on the phone finished explaining the situation and thanked Julia for the care she had provided during the past few weeks. They spoke briefly about the family, about how difficult those final days could be for everyone involved, and then the call ended. Julia set the phone down on the counter. For several seconds, she remained there quietly, thinking about the house she had visited so many times during those weeks. The garden the woman had once talked about, the maple tree outside the bedroom window, the quiet room where Julia had sat beside the bed only hours earlier. Eventually, she reached for the coffee mug she had poured earlier that morning, then she paused. Something about the conversation suddenly returned to her. She picked up the phone again and opened the patient chart on the hospice system. The update from the overnight nurse had already been entered, including the official documentation from the family's call. Julia's eyes moved down the screen until they reached the line that listed the time the daughter had reported finding her mother. She read the number once, then she read it again. The time recorded in the chart was 2:14 a.m. For a moment, Julia stared at the screen without moving. Her mind drifted back to the moment she had woken during the night. She could picture the clock beside the bed clearly, the soft red numbers glowing in the darkness of the room. 2:14 a.m. At the time, it had meant nothing. She had simply glanced at the clock and rolled over, assuming the dream had come from the long shift and the emotional weight that sometimes followed hospice work home. But now the number sat in front of her again. Julia slowly set the phone back down on the counter. The house around her remained quiet. Outside, the early afternoon sunlight filtered through the trees in the yard, casting moving shadows across the kitchen floor. For several minutes, she stood there thinking about the dream. Most people assumed hospice nurses became numb to death after a while. In reality, the work simply taught them how to live beside it. You learn to focus on the practical responsibilities, the medications, and the breathing patterns and the quiet reassurance families needed during those final hours. The emotional moments were still there. They just became quieter. Julia had cared for many patients over the years. Most of them eventually faded into memory, their names and faces blending together with time. A few stayed with her longer. The woman from the Maple Tree House would be one of those. Julia tried to approach the situation logically at first. It was entirely possible that the timing was coincidence. Her mind had been thinking about the patient when she went to sleep. Dreams often pulled from the experiences that filled your thoughts before rest. That explanation made sense, at least it should have. But something about the dream itself still felt different. It had not carried the strange shifting quality. Most dreams did. The room had remained steady. The conversation had been calm and focused in a way that felt almost intentional. And the woman had spoken Julia's name. That detail lingered more than anything else. During the final days of illness, the woman had not been able to speak at all. Yet in the dream, her voice had sounded exactly the way Julia remembered from those earlier visits, clear and familiar. Julia finished her coffee slowly. Later that afternoon, she decided to call the daughter. It was something she often did after a patient passed. Families sometimes appreciated hearing from the nurse who had spent time in the home during those final weeks. The daughter answered on the second ring. Her voice sounded tired but calm. Julia expressed her condolences and asked how the family was doing. They spoke quietly for several minutes about the night before and about the peaceful way the woman had passed. The daughter eventually described what had happened. She had fallen asleep on the couch sometime after midnight while another relative rested in a nearby chair. The house had been completely quiet. At some point, she woke suddenly and felt the need to check on her mother. When she entered the bedroom, the room felt different. The daughter paused for a moment before continuing. She said it was difficult to explain exactly why. Nothing in the room had changed physically. The lamp still glowed beside the bed, and the blankets were arranged exactly the way Julia had left them earlier that night. But the daughter had the strong feeling that the moment had already passed. Her mother lay peacefully in the bed. The breathing had stopped. Julia listened quietly while the daughter spoke. Then she asked gently what time that had happened. The daughter answered without hesitation. "Just after 2 a.m, she said. "I remember looking at the clock when I walked back into the living room. It was 2:14. Julia thanked her for sharing that and told her again how honored she had been to care for her mother during those final weeks. They spoke for a few more minutes before ending the call. Afterward, Julia sat quietly at the kitchen table for a long time. Outside, the afternoon light had begun to shift toward evening. The same kind of quiet calm she had felt in the dream seemed to settle into the house around her. Eventually, Julia stood and walked to the window. The maple tree in her own yard moved gently in the breeze, and for a moment she thought again about the dream, the bedroom, the soft glow of the lamp, the woman sitting upright in the bed, smiling calmly as if the illness had already fallen away, and the quiet way she had said thank you. Julia never told many people about the dream. Hospice nurses were used to explaining things in practical terms, and most of the time Julia believed those explanations herself. There were logical reasons for dreams, especially after long nights filled with emotional moments. But every now and then, when she thought back to that night, she remembered how steady the room had looked in the dream, how clear the woman's voice had sounded, and how the clock beside her bed had read 2:14 a.m. the moment she woke. Over the years, Julia cared for many more patients. Some nights passed quietly, while others carried the same heavy stillness that settled into homes during the final hours of life. Yet every once in a while, when she stepped into a room where someone was nearing the end, she found herself remembering that dream again, because for one brief moment in the middle of the night, it had felt as though the boundary between those two worlds had grown just a little thinner.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.